This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by Mr. California himself, Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hello, Mr. United Kingdom.
And as usual, as ever, the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse.
Hello, everybody.
So, Daniel, you took a little school trip, did you, recently?
Yes, work trip.
More about that later on. Coming up on the show, though, in our news segment, child seats to be mandatory, the government won't be banning Grab, and some other stuff. We'll then be moving on to our AT&T segment. Autonomous driving gets a 27 billion euro investment, but hits another snag. And there's a little bit of Tesla bashing coming up in that segment, I'll tell you now. And then we have a car review. It is the Mercedes A-Class.
Yes.
A-Class, A-Class, all coming up very shortly. But first, as ever, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Arif, government won't ban Grab.
Yep, so you know there's...
Sensationalist or what?
Yeah. Pretty much, these past few weeks, there's been a big hoo-ha by these taxi drivers.
Mm-hmm.
For the past 3-4 years, they have the same narrative, which is... Please ban Grab, government. Well, the Ministry of Transport, Mr. Anthony Lok, says he won't give in to them at all. Instead, he encourages these taxi drivers to use e-hailing apps instead, which is quite good. And then he also adds that he's talked to a lot of passengers and then said that passengers are always for more options, so he's going to take the passenger side on this one.
We spoke briefly about some of these issues last week, didn't
we? Yes, we did.
And we kind of didn't come down on the side of the taxi drivers, but we understood.
We understood their problems.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that we're not taking sides here on Cruise Control, because we realise that taxi drivers spend a lot of time in their cars listening to the radio.
Yes.
Hello, guys, we love you. Okay, moving on. Child seats to be mandatory by 2020.
Yeah, this was the one that caught everybody off guard, actually, because last week when it was announced, word spread like wildfire. The child seats being mandatory was actually supposed to be introduced next year in 2019, but it's been postponed for fresh discussions. Mr. Anthony Lok said that, you know, since we've changed government, we got to hold new, fresh discussions, gain new perspectives, etc. And he says that he plans to make child seats cheaper for all of us. And, you know, decent child seats cost about, what, $300-$400, I think, Daniel? Something like that.
You know, I don't agree with the fact that it must be made cheaper. Cheaper means you're going to sacrifice on some safety issues. My argument is, and I've had this argument for years. In fact, we started talking about child seats years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the issues with it, because as a father, you know, I had two boys. And, you know, when I talk to some parents... And they say, oh, you know, it's really expensive. You know, you go to the hypermarkets, even at the hypermarket level, it's 700-800 ringgit.
They're cheaper than a funeral.
Yes. Oh, yes. But then I say this. Coming back to your cost of funerals, I say, listen, you are willing to go and have for your family a buffet dinner at 150 ringgit per head. Times four, that's 600 ringgit.
Right.
This is your child's safety, and you're not even willing to spend 600-700 ringgit,
right,
a one-off cost,
right,
which you can filter down to your next child and your third child and your fourth child, depending on how many children you want to have. Now, I don't understand the mentality of some Malaysians who say, you know, especially parents, oh, I love my child, I want to keep them safe and all that. But the simple fact, they will not spend this money, rather go have a buffet meal or go buy themselves some really expensive sneakers and forego this.
Now, I think child
seats... Am I sounding too angry?
No. No, I'm on your side with this. I think we introduced, in the UK, they were introduced as a mandatory thing back in the 80s, I think it was.
You
know, because it was recognised that most passenger child deaths happened because the child was not secured.
Yes. Yeah.
And whenever I see cars driving around with the kid sat on the parent's lap, it drives me crazy because, you know, if something happens and you hit that brake, that kid is just... Straight
sandwich.
It's done.
Especially when their heads are popping up on the sunroofs. Yes. Oh my God. Oh. That's,
but you know what angers me even more? What angers me even more, and I'm going to say this, fathers who put their kids on their lap while they're driving.
They think it's fun. Yeah.
They think, you know, on the passenger side, I can absorb some of that anger.
Mm.
But when they're on the driver's seat and the child is there, anything is fun. Oh, I let my child drive the car. Listen, he can do that when he's 17.
Yeah.
But until then, you don't do the silly move. That is absolutely dumb.
Well, Anthony Look said that he's going to start holding a lot of awareness campaigns from 2019. Do you think that that's enough? It's not going
to
be enough.
It's, you have to charge these people. And the problem is, our local police feel sorry for some of these parents.
Well, because they can't afford a child seat?
Yes, because, you know, they always give a sad story, you know, I can't afford it and all that. I've seen police officers stopping some of these cars and just, you know, like telling them, you know, please, you know, move it around. But, you know, you can't force someone to go and buy something. So what do? You charge them. You make them pay a hefty fine. Then they learn their lesson.
There was, I remember, a video campaign a few years ago about people who were sat in the back seats who didn't wear their seatbelts.
Yes.
And it was all about how physics transfers the weight after you hit a stop. Essentially, if you're an average man sat in the back seat of a car and you are traveling at 50 or 60 kilometers an hour and you hit that brake hard, when you are thrown from that back seat, which you will be, you know, forward, you have the weight of a full grown elephant.
Okay.
You know, that's how much force you are moving with.
Yes.
And imagine that. It terrifies me. It terrifies me.
But let me tell you a true story. Some years ago, when I was with a different radio station, we worked something out with an insurance company, car insurance company. And they said, okay, we will give out some well-priced car seats in a certain neighborhood where people are not really aware of this.
Mm.
In the city of Kuala Lumpur. And they did it. And they did it. And we applaud them. And we gave them a lot of, you know, exposure on air. And we said, you know, job well done. You know what happened? Most of the people who got the free car seats
sold it. Of course.
My God.
And when they did a similar program after that for motorcycle helmets, for children, you know, that means the slightly smaller helmets, most of it was sold back to the motorcycle shops. So this is the mentality of some of the people. And I think the only way to solve it is to give them a hefty fine or take away their license.
Okay. Well, harsh but fair, I think.
Yes.
Well, other than that, there's also plans to make child seats cheaper.
If you can make seat belts for cars in Malaysia, you can make child seats. No
yes,
issue.
You can. All right, moving on to story number two then. Jaguar's motion sickness technology. This sounds pretty sick.
Well, you know, the fact that Jaguar is doing it, they know it's because of all the British people.
I was waiting for that. You just can't let it slide.
With all the British
can't
people.
Let it slide. Go on.
You know?
Well,
come on, Arif.
Jaguar, they've created sort of a wellness score. So they analyze your body. They analyze what you're doing, how long you've been in a car, etc. And then they calculate it. And then they adjust the car settings to reduce the effects of car sickness. And these car settings include anything that can be adjusted in the car, which, you know, adjusting the navigation system, adjusting the infotainment, the temperature of the climate control, even your seating position, and even the harshness of the suspension, which is actually quite interesting. But do you guys think that this is a gimmick?
Yes.
Wow, that was great.
It's a selling point. It's a selling point.
Okay, gimmick, selling point, same thing, different name.
Yes.
I have not gotten car sick since I was probably a kid, I don't think. And I think the only time that I've known people get car sick is when they're sat either in the passenger side or in the back seat using their phone.
Yes. Or, you know, when they're sitting as a passenger with me.
Right.
The way I drive.
You said that, not me.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, okay, selling point, yes. Maybe, maybe. But yes. I don't know.
I feel like maybe to a certain extent, some of it will stay. Mm. Like if you're tired, if you've been driving for a long time, and then your car sort of notices that you've just been sitting silently or in the same position all the time, perhaps maybe stretching out the seat a little bit, or.
But that's not car sickness, is it? I mean, that's comfort. It's a different thing, right? Car sick is when you're feeling dizzy. You're like, I just want to get out of here. No, that's different.
That's true. That's true. Well,
Daniel, right? Right.
I'm not going to say anything more because this doesn't apply to Malaysia. Just the British continent.
All right, let's move on then. Enough about that. Okay, solar charging roofs. Well, this just seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, exactly. But how effective will these solar charging roofs be? I mean,
well, you tell us, Arif. You're the newsboy.
Kia and Hyundai are looking to introduce this sort of thing on their cars in 2019. And they say that it can charge 30 to 60% of the battery on their normal day. And unsurprisingly, they didn't really detail what a normal day looked like. I mean,
well, in Korea, a normal Sunday is less than ours. So, you know, it's good. It's good. Yeah.
It's going to be placed on the roofs and their hoods of their cars to increase fuel efficiency and range. And And the weird thing is that I think they've figured out a way to make it sort of like semi-transparent, because they were saying that it can be equipped on top of the panoramic sunroof. So if you take the panoramic sunroof option, you can also charge your car, which is kind of weird. And Toyota has done this on the Prius.
Yes.
And but not across the whole range.
Because it wasn't very efficient. But, you know, old tech. Now with new tech, of course, it's possible. You know, I think it's a good idea.
Great idea. It's a really good idea, yeah.
Mm. Okay, we're in agreement about something.
Yes, finally.
Wow. Finally. Moving swiftly along before somebody changes their mind. Car launches, local, please, first.
We've got a bunch. We've got the new C-Class facelift, which has been launched.
Just 2 days ago.
Just 2 days ago, yeah. The C200 and the C300 AMG line. Both starting at R260,000 ringgit and R305,000 ringgit respectively. They've also released the AMG C43, and all of these new C-classes comes with fancier lights. digital speedos lights. And updated infotainment.
What he's trying to say is, I mean, I saw the cars, the headlamps do look a lot
really
nicer.
Good.
Uh-huh. They really stand up. Really
you don't need
up.
To clean them with toothpaste anymore.
No.
But yeah, I remember because I drove the C43 AMG and I was really kind of disappointed by its, you know, how old it felt. Mm. And looking at the pictures of the new C-Class facelift, I think it sort of like brought it up a little bit, gave it a kind of new lease of life. So quite successful facelift, I think.
Yes. All right. Next.
Mercedes are also thinking about building the GLB. So we have a GLA, GLC, GLE, but now they have a GLB. And that's going to be designed to compete against the BMW X1 and the Audi Q3.
But shouldn't the GLA be competing against the X1 and Q3?
Logically, you would think that, right?
But they're saying no.
No.
Well, you know, I think they're saying no because
it's similar.
Well, it's not made yet,
right? Yeah.
So there's no price.
Would the price? I'm assuming.
Yeah, but if you look at it, it's already got the GLA. So I think the GLB will probably be just another product to confuse more buyers when they go into the showroom and see a slew of Mercedes-Benz cars.
Which one was it? It was GL something.
Yes, you know, there's just so many of them in the showroom.
Right. Because like, the BMW X1 is the bigger, more practical one. The X2 is the more sporty one.
Yes.
But the GLA, which should really be named the GLB,
now I'm confused.
Yes. Is the more practical one?
I think we need to have a reader's poll on this. what's the Instagram?
It is at BFM Cruise Control.
Yes. Yeah, we'll pitch out that question and
Does Mercedes-Benz need a GLB?
They need something.
Anyway, we've also got a bunch of stuff from Kia and Hyundai. The first one, Hyundai, they've released the facelift of a new Tucson. Wow, so many facelifts, actually.
Yes.
It can be had with a 1.6 turbo or a 2-liter naturally aspirated engine, both starting at 144,000 ringgit and 124,000 ringgit. Again, not many changes other than facelifts and updated technology.
Okay. And this is going to hit the Proton X70 when it comes out.
Uh-huh.
Totally.
Of course it is, yeah.
Yeah, this is going to hit it.
All right, next.
We've also got a bunch of Kias, actually, that's going to be released. A Grand Carnival, a Sorento facelift, a Kia Rio, a Kia Optima GT facelift. All of them are getting facelifts and updates and all of this stuff. But this next car that we got a scoop from your website, Daniel Fernandez, has to do with California. And it's a Volvo S60. You said that it's coming.
Yes. What's the name of your website again, just to be clear?
DSF.my. Okay. DSF is actually my initials, Daniel Sherman Fernandez. Mm. Thank you very much, Mr. United Kingdom.
There you go.
So, yeah, apparently, according to DSF.my, it's coming to Malaysia in Q3 of next year, which is, I think, the new S60.
Brand
and the
new
V60.
S60. I drove it. I will share my personal experience with that car next Saturday.
Can we get a thumbs up or a thumbs down right here? You don't need to say it on air. I just want to see a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
I'll say this. Fingers up.
Fingers
up.
Not helpful at all.
Fingers up.
All right, of course, that was the news section with Mr. Arif Roux. Stick around. When we come back, we have our AT&T segment. €27 billion will be spent on technology companies to make autonomous driving a reality, or will it? And then, of course, we have a car review, all coming up very shortly here in Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. BFM BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my and, of course, Mr. Arif Ruse. So then, our AT&T segment today.
We're talking about money.
We're talking about money, honey. Yes. 27 billion euros.
Yes, 27
billion. Change.
Yes, it's estimated by financial and banking analysts and also tech analysts that 27 billion euros will be spent in the next few years, which is 4 years.
4 years.
Just in 4 years on autonomous technology.
Now, you haven't been the biggest of proponents of autonomous technology.
No, I'm not a big fan of it. And, like you said earlier, I just came back from California and I saw the number of electric cars there and semi-autonomous cars. And, you know, I didn't see anybody driving with their hands off the steering wheel. Of course, I'm not everywhere, but, you know, California is the number one place for this.
Yeah.
And I just didn't see anyone actually letting go of their hands and chilling and reading a book or having a latte. I think everybody is still a little bit not
wary.
Too sure about this.
Yeah.
And I actually walked into a car showroom to see how they explained this autonomous thing. And it was a Tesla showroom in a shopping mall. And
It was.
And they actually...
Too sneaky. See,
and they actually, you know, like to explain the fact that the car is autonomous. They actually... But the way the salesman explains it, it's more like, you know, when you're going cross-country. Because, you know, US is so big.
Yeah.
One state to another state. You could be driving for 8-9 hours without even seeing another car. But again... You know, you never know. An animal might cross or a road hog might come along or, you know, a truck or a road train or something like that. But again, if you let your hands off the steering wheel, this is my fear again, you can fall asleep.
Yep.
You know? So anyway, so now they're saying 27 billion euros. The company that's talking a lot about this is a company called, it's a technology giant called NVIDIA.
NVIDIA.
NVIDIA. Okay, sorry, my Indian accent.
NVIDIA.
And Volvo.
Okay.
And Volvo are talking about this, you know, artificial intelligence, a computer that will do everything for you, 360-degree surround perception. That means the computer is checking what's going on around you. So when you go into full autonomous car, this technology will do everything for you. Now, I'm not too sure that this is something which I can accept. And the reason why I'm saying this, of course, you know, Volvo is spending a lot of money on this company and there are other companies involved. I can't pronounce the names. Vinia and Zenuity.
I'm not even going to correct you, Gary.
Yeah, does that sound right?
Yeah, sounds,
Vinia and Zenuity. You
sounds
know?
About right. Yeah.
Vinia is a spin-off of a Swedish supplier, Autoliv, that does a lot of safety equipment. And Zenuity is an automotive software joint venture controlled by Volvo and Autoliv. So these are all interlinked with, you know, Swedish giants which are interlinked, trying to make cars, you know, more readily available for autonomous driving. But then again, just came out, just this week, a Tesla owner crashed while in autopilot.
How many weeks have we gone before that since you've bashed Tesla?
Just out of interest. I've not bashed Tesla for a long time.
4 weeks, maybe? 3 weeks?
I think a little bit longer.
All right.
But, you know, when news like this comes out, and this is global news, okay?
Yeah.
Now, they have all the reasons what it should have done and what it should not have done. But the fact is, someone took their hands off, they drove, and they hit, and they got into an accident. Now,
haven't Tesla come out, though, and said they are not marketing it as autopilot anymore, and they're starting to call it assistive driving?
Yes, you're right, okay, to help passengers. But you see, the human nature is, I've paid so much for this car, let me test it out.
Yeah.
Let me test it out. So there's even one claim, you know, that happened some time ago where a lady hit a parked car, you know, while driving a Tesla, because again, she's not looking around. The fact is, you're in a moving vehicle. It's like a jet airliner. Mm. You can put it on autopilot.
Mm. Yeah.
And it works fine. But you're in the sky. You got a
You don't have cars parked on either side of the road.
Yeah, you don't have anything. No, you don't
planes
have things parked on the clouds. Right. You don't have birds waiting there to crash into you.
Yeah.
And you don't have people or objects walking across or running across you. So I think we're still very far away from this. And I think I said this some time ago. I think this will only work if everybody had a modern autonomous car and every car spoke to each other even when they were parked.
Right, yeah.
Then it works well.
Yeah.
You know, that means whether you're a scooter, you're a truck, you're a tractor, every moving vehicle talk to each other through some form of technology.
But then they're not cars then, are they? They're something else.
They're robots.
Yeah.
They're robots, exactly. And this is where we're going to. We're going to have robots.
Is this why you're so, you know, anti-Tesla, anti-robot?
Yes, because
anti-technology.
I still want to have some control.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yes.
You know, and the idea is, people who drive want to drive.
Yes.
You know, and these people who have throwaway money, like people who own and buy Tesla cars, right, they want all of that tech and they assume it to be ready right now.
Right.
Because they're like, I've spent all of this money, it should be able to do this right
now.
Yeah.
They're just not living in the same world as the rest of us.
Correct.
I just read out this line, and I think it resonates with you. Okay. Our fears, I think.
Okay.
It says, your car will drive you and constantly watch out for you. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that, actually.
That's the thing.
Because,
you know, if it's going at 25 kilometers an hour, fine. No problem.
Yeah.
How much damage can it do? But still, at 25 kilometers an hour, if you hit a child, that child is maimed for life or maybe even dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because a child is a child. And, you know, a child can't react to a moving vehicle because it's a child. You know, or a mother pushing a pram with a child inside. If she's not taking attention to what's happening and she doesn't hear this electric car coming because it's cruising along silently, you know, she just avoids attention because why? Her smartphone started ringing. You know, these are all instances that you can think of that makes autonomous cars really scary for the future.
As scary as they are, though, I think inevitably this is where we're going to end up, isn't it?
You know? Because 27 billion euro, spend it on cleaning up the oceans and rivers.
Ooh.
Says the man who likes to drive petrol cars.
Exactly.
Wow.
But
all right.
I do have a feeling that a lot of the 27 billion is going to go to upgrading like city centers and especially around the EU where a lot of these autonomous cars should be living in the future.
I'd like to
think
that, but I'm thinking that 27 billion is likely to be spent on R&D, the majority
to sell this
to
product
to
consumers who think I'm getting the best technology without realizing that it might actually fail if I take my hands off.
Yeah. All right, then, that's it. We have come to the end of our AT&T segment. We're going to move on to our car review now. What have we got? It's the Mercedes A-Class.
The brand new A-Class. Mm. Just launched a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And this is a solid-looking car.
Mm-hmm. Tell me all about it, then.
Okay, number one, we flew to a little country called Croatia. Do you know where that is?
Right next to California?
No.
Okay. It's, of course, it's a Slovakian country.
It's very close to Italy.
Yeah,
so, Italy,
huh? So it's very rugged, very rustic.
Mountains
very
and
traditional,
the sea.
You know?
What is this accent? I don't
oh my
know.
God.
And I'm telling you, the roads are very, very nice, even though it's not a fully developed country. You
know? Okay.
Rugged landscape, very rugged landscape. So we got the new A-Class there.
Yeah.
We took it out for a test drive. And of course, they gave us the starter model, I'll call it, the 1.3 turbocharged model.
Why Croatia?
Well, car companies like to find exotic locations where, in sometimes...
Pictures look nice.
Maybe, you know, you come back with this whole experience. Wow, Croatia. I've heard about it, but I can't afford to go there.
Mm.
So you come back with that added zest
I see.
To write the review.
Gotcha.
Because if they said, oh, we're taking you to downtown Ampang.
Hey, that's my hood, man.
Exactly.
Don't mess with that.
That's why I mentioned it. You know, where there's heavy traffic, you know, the streets are not that clean, you know,
right,
and everybody's honking.
Uh-huh,
you won't get such a very interesting experience with the new A-Class. So Croatia, it was a city called Split.
I'm sorry, that's me making noise.
Yes, and we took it out and... Yes, starter model. We had a whole day with the car from morning, afternoon, and evening. And, you know,
you've
like
got a tough job, you have.
Tough job, tough job. It's a nice car. It's bigger than the previous A-Class. It's bigger in every single way. It's got more, I would say, sharper lines on it.
Mm.
Yet it's stubby. You know, the front is a little bit more stubby, the rear is a little more stubby. You might think it sounds a little bit not interesting, but go to DSF, have a look at the pictures, and you'll see that actually this car looks very nice. But the biggest improvement, forget about the drive, forget about the handling, which it's taken to another new step. The biggest improvement I got to emphasize on this show is the interior. The cabin, the new cabin on the Mercedes A-Class is just awesome.
I got to agree with that. I think it looks so much better proportioned than the S-Class.
Yes, and you know, I'm an old-fashioned... man, you know, when it comes to cars. And I don't like all this high tech in the cabin, but this cabin just got me, especially at night. If you look at the night shots and you get into this car and you see the cabin and the colors,
yes, pretty nice.
And you suddenly say, wow. And it's designed for people to go, wow. The showroom experience, I think every Mercedes-Benz showroom that has an A-Class in it should have the lights dimmed. Because when you get into that cabin and have that cabin ambient light on with the instrument cluster, which looks like two tablets, it just says wow. And even more interesting is the air conditioning vents. I have to mention this.
Even more interesting is the air conditioning vents.
I mean, look at this air conditioning vents.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty.
That looks like Jetstream fuselage.
Exactly.
I think we're going to start a poll on that.
Yes.
Think that these air vents that, of course, go to our BFM Cruise Control Instagram page, but do you think these air vents are actually pretty, or is Daniel Fernandez just making too much out of it?
I think yes, let's have a poll on this.
All right, let's do it. Okay. Write that down. Make sure we don't forget.
Yes, because these vents are the bomb.
Okay.
They're just
I'm thinking
so
you
nice
used a better
use.
Phrase than that, but you know, quote him on that as well, please.
And
yes.
They're so nice to use.
They look really pretty though.
Yes, and you know the build quality on this cabin.
It's almost like a throwback to a 50s kind of design.
Exactly.
You know,
you got modern, retro, all fused together to give you a cabin that just screams at you, buy me. You know, it just screams, buy me. I mean, I've seen a lot of modern cars coming forward towards me and saying, yeah, okay, you know, I can accept it. But this one immediately says, buy me. And then when you sit in the car and you start driving it, it's like, even though it's an A-class hot hatch, but it feels like a more grown-up C-class. It's comfortable. It's plump. It's sitting on the road so nice. And then when you drive it, that 1.3 engine may sound 1.3 in a Mercedes-Benz hot hatch. Have you got your statements right? No, it is fast. It's fast enough because they've just boosted everything to just give you more excitement. New gearbox, new handling, suspension, everything. And then comes the icing on top of the New York cheesecake.
Very specific there.
And that is called MBUX.
MBUX.
Which is the new Mercedes-Benz Entertainment Unit.
I've heard about this, yes.
MBUX. This is a software system that sits in that beautiful screen, that beautiful tablet, which talks to you.
It does what? Why would you want that?
It talks to you. And you know, we actually tried talking to it in slightly varied accents.
Let's hear it.
You know, we tried
give us an example.
Yeah. We tried our Indian accent and it worked.
It worked. Uh-huh.
And then we tried with the British accent. Uh-huh. And then it also worked. And then we tried with our normal, you know, wonderful voice and it worked. And you can ask her things. I mean, it was a her. We didn't program it for anything else. We asked her, like, you know, we are in Croatia and asked, okay, can you tune in to BFM, please? And she takes some time and she comes back. Please reply the station name. Because she's not sure, because she doesn't have it there.
Right,
then,
right.
Can you increase the ambient temperature? No problem. Can you switch on the heater? No problem. Everything she does, voice activated. And that's the biggest draw. Because you can be sitting in traffic alone and you can start having a conversation with this lady.
What? So I was reading some stuff about the MBUX, right. And then somebody was saying, like, in the comment section, somebody was saying, like, would you like your in-car person, digital person, to talk to you like a human or like an AI?
Interesting question.
This one, I think it talks to you more like a human, right?
More like a human. And, you know, I can see in 2 or 3 years' time, this is going to interact with you. You see, all this is predetermined answers, but I can see it evolving. So it'll interact with you. Like, it'll say, hello, Arif, how are you? Did you have your curry pop this morning?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, machine learning. Yeah, yes. Like scary. Kit from Knight Rider.
Exactly. And this could be really interesting for, you know, when you're going, you know, early morning, you're commuting to work.
Hang on a minute. Let's just get this straight. Right. Let's just rewind a little bit.
Yes.
You're completely against autonomous vehicles currently, but you're all for a car that will talk to you.
You know why?
Why?
Because there are many times I'm alone in the car, going to a photo location or going on a test drive. And, you know, before I get to the location, I mean, it's a little bit lonely, you know, and you don't want to talk on your phone because it's not good to talk on your phone while you're driving, but it's okay to talk to your car.
So how much is this beast then?
Well, the prices in Malaysia start at 230,000. So I think it's very, very reasonable. And I can see a lot of younger generation people.
Younger, wealthier people.
Completely drawn to this vehicle. Mm. And then I can see people of my age group who are saying, hey, it's about time. I made a change in my life. I've got something called a midlife crisis, which till today nobody...
I don't need the Porsche anymore.
Which nobody can really explain what it is
right. And
say, listen, 200 over 1,000, Mercedes-Benz A-Class with MBUX, why not?
All right, let's quickly run through an 8-point inspection. Who's the car for?
The car is for young gentlemen.
Young gentlemen.
Yes.
Number two, who are its competitors and how does it compare? The BMW 1 Series, the Volkswagen Golf, or the Audi A3?
At the moment, for this country, only the Golf GTI. Only the Golf GTI, because no one else comes closer. But pretty soon next year, everybody's going to have a rival.
Similar thing to this.
Everybody, including the Koreans and Japanese. You just watch and see.
What stands out most for you about this car?
The MBUX.
How does it drive? What's the ride like, the handling, the engine, the build quality?
It's moved up to what the C-Class is all about.
Right.
So it's a C-Class with a hatchback.
I don't even need to ask you this question, but I'm going to anyway. Is the car well-equipped?
It is well-equipped. It's over-equipped, because I think this MBUX should be sitting in a car costing much more money.
Much more.
It's actually not in the new S-Class.
Not in the new S-Class, and it's not in the new E-Class.
Or the C-Class that they just launched.
So when the new models of all those cars mentioned come out, they will have this.
How is it priced, and what's the warranty and the after-sales stuff like?
Well, you know, Mercedes-Benz in Malaysia, they've got good warranty, good after-sales.
Yeah.
Pricing is good. You know, below 300 for both variants. So I think they've got a bestseller on their hands for sure.
So you definitely consider it over some of the other stuff out there, the other competitors.
I will consider it if I'm buying it in the next few months. But if I'm someone who's looking to see, will the competitors come out with something, then you got to wait and see. But, you know, you need someone to start the goalpost, and then the rest come and move it.
Right. Yeah. It's a funny old game, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Anyway, ladies and gents, that has been Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. As usual, I've been in the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And, of course, the man with the news, it was Mr. Arif Ruse. Say hello, goodbye.
Hello, goodbye.
And my name has been Rich Brenbury. This has been Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.